Good morning. I invite you to be opening your Bibles over to Hebrews chapter 12. It's going to be going to Hebrews chapter 12. This has been a particularly exciting weekend and happy and busy weekend for our family. My sister Melissa was married yesterday, and so the whole family has been getting that together. We're very excited for she and for her new husband, Alan, and for our family and for all the ways that God has blessed us. Been an exciting weekend with much to do. And I got to thinking about next weekend. I know that T and I will probably be back home in Pineland. And I got to thinking about how that's going to seem a little bit empty without all the festivities and without being out of town and all of that. But then I started to realize that for the Christian person, there really is no such thing as an empty weekend. Because on Sundays, on the first day of the week, we come together in this very special way. And we remember together our Savior. And we celebrate the greatest event in the history of mankind. And that's not an overstatement. Whether or not we have plans on the weekend, whether there's a wedding or not, whether or not we have a special outing, we have the Lord's Day when we come together in His assembly, in His worship, and that truly makes any weekend an exciting one. And today, my wife T and I are very happy to be here with you and to be with the saints here on this Lord's Day. We thank you for welcoming us once again. In Hebrews chapter 12, the writer refers to Jesus' church as this way. In verse 23, he says that it is the church of the firstborn who are registered in heaven. Registered in heaven. There are many times in life when you must make sure that your name is on a list somewhere, that you're registered for something. We register for things all the time. If you want to go to college, guess which office you'll have to stop by your first visit to the campus. You're going to go to the registrar's office to get registered for college. You don't make that trip and you don't get in. You don't make it into college. If you walk into a doctor's office for the first time, guess which form you're going to be filling out? You're going to be filling out a registration form. You don't fill out that form, you don't get in to see the doctor. If you need a credit card, whether you're going to do that in person at the bank or through the mail or through online services, guess what you're going to have to do? You're going to have to register for that credit card. Registration is important. Without your name on that list, whatever list it is, you are excluded. You are left out. You don't get in. And the best part about a registry is that it comes in my two favorite colors, black and white. It is simple. Either you're on the list or you're not. Well, in the passage we just read, the Hebrew writer tells us a very wonderful thing about heaven, maybe something we don't think about all that often. Heaven has a registry. There's a list of names. God has a list, a record of people who are registered for entry into heaven. People who have done all of it, who have visited heaven's registrar, who have filled out the form, who have signed and dotted the line, people who are ready and registered to enter heaven. And this morning, I want to look at some passages in the Bible that tell us about that registry, about heaven's registry. Who is recorded in that registry? How do you get registered in heaven? And a very important question that we ask from time to time, can your name be erased from that registry? The Bible answers all of these questions and more for you and I. Let's talk about heaven's registry. And let's just start with that very simple point. God keeps a registry. He keeps a list. He keeps a record of people. In Luke chapter 10, let's go to Luke 10 together. In Luke chapter 10, and starting in verse 17, Jesus sends out these 70 disciples and gives them many wonderful miracles that they can perform. And in Luke chapter 10 and verse 17, it starts as, "Then the 70 returned with joy, saying, 'Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name.' And he said to them, 'I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. Behold, I give you the authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Nevertheless, do not rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven.'" What Jesus said to these men, and you can imagine, if you were given the ability to cast out demons and to do all of these miraculous things, you'd think that that was pretty wonderful and pretty impressive. And it would be perhaps a shocking and surprising thing to you to be able to do that. Certainly any of us would feel that way. And Jesus says, yes, that's wonderful. But what I want you to be amazed by is that your names are recorded. Your names are written in heaven. To have your name written in heaven, to be registered, is something amazing. It's something wonderful. It is, in fact, I would say, out of the ordinary. Not everyone has their name written in heaven. You'll turn with me to Philippians chapter 4, and we see this registry is given a name. In Philippians chapter 4, and starting in verse 1, Philippians chapter 4 and verse 1, Paul says, "Therefore, my beloved and longed for brethren, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord. I implore Euodia and I implore Syntyche to be of the same mind in the Lord. And I urge you also, true companion, help these women who labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and the rest of my fellow workers whose names are in the book of life." You're going to see that terminology from time to time when you open your New Testament. You're going to read about a book of life. Why do you think it's called a book of life, this registry that is here in heaven? Well, what we're going to see is that that's because it is a record of the living. It is a record of people who are alive. Not physically alive, yes they are now, but people who are spiritually alive to God, who have life in God. This is the book recording living people. And if you're not on the list, you're dead. This is one of the great and most comforting truths that's recorded for you and I in Scripture. When we talk about heaven's registry, it needs to remind us that God keeps track of his people. That's what this is about. God knows the people who belong to him, and he keeps track of them. He doesn't forget us. He doesn't forget our deeds. He knows who belong to him. Paul put it that way in 2 Timothy 2 and verse 19. He said, "The Lord knows who are his." The Hebrew writer, or rather, we'll get to that, in Revelation chapters 1 through 3, where you read about Jesus with those seven churches. They're described as these seven lampstands. And he's in the midst of them there. He's in the midst of his churches. The point in those chapters is that Jesus isn't viewing his churches through a telescope somewhere up high where he's distant from them. The point is that he's there in the midst of them. He's walking in his lampstands. For this church and for other local churches, Jesus is involved in what happens here. He sees each of the saints here. He knows what we do. He knows what we do as a congregation. He knows what we do as individuals. He sees everything that happens, both the good and the bad. He's not viewing us through a telescope. He is here in our midst. The Hebrew writer puts it this way in Hebrews 4 and verse 13. That says 14 and verse 3 on the board. That's backwards. It's Hebrews 4 and verse 13. There's no Hebrews 14. If you went and looked for it, you know, I feel for you. Hebrews 4 and verse 13, the Hebrew writer says, "There is no creature hidden from his sight, but all things are naked and open to the eyes of him to whom we must give account." One of the great passages in all of the New Testament, those preceding verses that say that God's word is this sword that cuts through everything. It's a divider of joints and marrow. It's that sharp. The point is not there when it says division of soul and spirit, that necessarily soul and spirit are two different things. That's not the point. People have tried to search that out. The point is that you take something that is so almost indistinguishable, and the Bible is that sharp. The Word of God is that sharp that it cuts through. And it says it's a discerner of the intents of our hearts. It knows what we're thinking. It's that mirror that whenever you look into God's Word, it shows you exactly who you are, and it shows you exactly what needs changing. And then in verse 13, he says, there is no creature hidden from his sight. There, he sees everything. I want you to think about this passage from this perspective. Two different people will read this two different ways and get something totally different from it. Hebrews 4 and verse 13, there is no creature hidden from his sight, but all things are naked and open to the eyes of him to whom we must give account. To the person who is unfaithful to God, who is not serving him, that passage should be frightening. Frightening to think that here we have a God who sees everything. He sees all of our deeds. Everything is naked and open. The imagery there is of a sacrifice. Whenever you would cut this lamb and you would flay it open, and there it was before God. That's what you and I are. It's as if we have a knife to our throat and we're flayed open, and God can see everything there. And to the person who's unfaithful, that is terrifying. But to the person who is living faithfully to God, what a comforting scripture. Because the Hebrew writer says God doesn't forget. He sees everything. He's not going to overlook the good things you do. He's not going to overlook your faithfulness. He's not going to forget it. God sees all of it. He pays attention to everything, and he knows those who belong to him. I believe in the book of Revelation, from time to time, you'll see language like God says, mark them out or circle them. I forget exactly how the language goes, but those who are faithful, you know, mark them out. I see them and I'm taking note. The point is, he knows those who belong to him. He doesn't overlook all of their sufferings, all of their trials. He knows that they're there, and he remembers those who are faithful. They are in heaven's registry. Are you registered in heaven? Are you one of those who God looks at and says, his name is in the book of life, or her name is in the book of life? Necessarily, one of the things that we come to see in the passages we're looking at already is that not everyone is listed. Not everyone is listed in this book of life. You and I want to make sure we are registered, that we're ready, that we're doing as we ought. But how can we know who is registered? Let's go to Ezekiel chapter 13 together. Prophet Ezekiel chapter 13. Let's look at a few passages that just tell us about who is registered or who is not registered in this book of life. Ezekiel chapter 13, and take a look at verse 9 here. God speaks about, in this chapter, those false prophets who had lied, who had spoken nonsense to his people. And he says in Ezekiel 13 and verse 9, he says, my hand will be against the prophets who envision futility and who divine lies. They shall not be in the assembly of my people, nor be written in the reward of the house of Israel, nor shall they enter into the land of Israel. You see that he even in this time, he had this record of the faithful, and he says, here are the false prophets who are speaking lies, and he says, they're not written for the reward. They're not recorded with those who are faithful. Now, you might say, well, that's pretty easy. I'm not a false prophet, and so far we're looking good. Well, other scriptures narrow this down for us. Let's look at Malachi chapter 3 here. Malachi chapter 3. And notice what Malachi says about those who are recorded and who are remembered by God. Malachi 3 and verse 16 says, "Then those who feared the Lord spoke to one another, and the Lord listened and heard them. So a book of remembrance was written before him for those who fear the Lord and who meditate on his name. They shall be mine, says the Lord of hosts, on that day that I make them my jewels, and I will spare them as a man spares his son who serves him. Then you shall again discern between the righteous and the wicked, between one who serves God and one who does not serve him." Malachi really kind of shaves that down for us and narrows it down and says, here are the people who are written in God's book of remembrance. And I first want you to see in verse 17, he says that this record is like God's jewel book. That's what this is. Verse 17, he says, on the day that I make them my jewels. It's as if we are jewels in that crown of God as he sits on his throne of glory. This is a record of those jewels in his crown. Who gets to be a jewel? Verse 16, he says, those who fear the Lord and meditate on his name. Those who fear him. In verse 17 or verse 18, he says, you shall discern between the righteous and the wicked, between one who serves God and does not serve him. God's registry belongs to those who are fearful, righteous, servants of God. Those three important and distinct qualities. The person who fears God in the way of respect and reverence and honestly downright fear. We read this morning that it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. If you ever hear sermons on fear sometimes, a lot of times we talk about the fear of God, that yes, we are reverent and yes, we are respectful, and it's that kind of fear. You know what else fearing God also means? It means you fear him. You don't want to fall into the hands of the living God. And that creates within us this need and this desire to serve him, fearful, righteous servants of God. Notice with me Isaiah chapter 4. Isaiah chapter 4. The prophet Isaiah speaks about this remnant of people, people who would remain in Jerusalem. They would be left in Jerusalem. But notice the language he uses here in Isaiah 4 and in verse 2, he says, "In that day the branch of the Lord shall be beautiful and glorious, and the fruit of the earth shall be excellent and appealing for those of Israel who have escaped." And he says, verse 3, "It shall come to pass that he who is left in Zion and remains in Jerusalem will be called holy. Everyone who is recorded among the living in Jerusalem." Now, I suppose, yes, you could take this passage and look at it two different ways. Okay, here is Jerusalem. Here is the city. Here are all the people. He says, all the living in Jerusalem. That's what he says at the end of verse 3 there. And he says, then you have those in the city who are called holy, and they live here among all the living. Well, I guess that's one way of looking at it. But don't you think it makes more sense that he is talking about the spiritually living, the spiritually alive, not the dead? He says, those who remain in Jerusalem will be called holy. Everyone who's recorded among the living, the spiritually alive. Remember, as we're seeing, this book, this registry of God is called the Book of Life. It's a book of the living. He says that God's registry is for holy people, those who are called holy. Holiness means you are set apart. You don't live like other people. You don't live like the world. You are sanctified. You are different. In 1 Peter 4, Peter says, We have spent enough of our past lifetime walking in lewdness, lust, drunkenness, revelries, drinking parties. And then he says, when other people look at you and you're living that way, you're not walking in all of those ways, he says, they think it strange that you do not run with them in the same flood of dissipation, speaking evil of you. People think it strange when you don't do what they do, when you live holy. Holiness is strangeness. And God's registry, God's list of the faithful people is a list of weirdos. It's a list of people who live strange, who are not like the rest of people. And when others look in, they see strangeness. They see different. They see weird. God's people are strangers. They don't belong here. Turn with me to Exodus chapter 32. Exodus chapter 32. This is one of the saddest chapters in the Bible. While Moses is up on the mountain receiving the commandments from God, the people are down below preparing an idol and calling it God. Just all together. Moses is up there going to see God. The people are down below making him God for themselves. Terrible. And in Exodus 32 and verse 7, it says, the Lord said to Moses, go get down, for your people whom you brought out of the land of Egypt have corrupted themselves. They have turned aside quickly out of the way which I commanded them. They have made themselves a molded calf and worshipped it and sacrificed to it and said, this is your God, O Israel, that brought you out of the land of Egypt. Down in verse 30, Moses pleads with God, and this is the way he does it. Exodus 32 and verse 30 says, now it came to pass on the next day that Moses said to the people, you have committed a great sin. So now I will go up to the Lord. Perhaps I can make atonement for your sin. Then Moses returned to the Lord and said, oh, these people have committed a great sin and have made for themselves a god of gold. Yet now, if you will forgive their sin, but if not, I pray, blot me out of your book which you have written. And the Lord said to Moses, whoever has sinned against me, I will blot him out of my book. Brethren, what we're reading in this passage and what we'll see in others is that contrary to popular belief and popular doctrine, it is possible. It is possible to be blotted out of God's book, to once be written there, and yet to be blotted out, to be erased, to fade. And Moses here, it's hard to tell what was going through his head necessarily, but he says, Lord, just blot me out. If you're going to blot them out, blot me out. In Psalm 69, David prays for help from his enemies. Psalm 69 and verse 26. David prays to God for help and he says, for they persecute the ones you have struck and talk of the grief of those you have wounded. And he calls for God to add iniquity to their iniquity and let them not come into your righteousness. Let them be blotted out of the book of the living and not be written with the righteous. What we read both in Exodus 32 and here in Psalm 69 is that what causes a person to be blotted out is their iniquities, is their wickedness. God says it is the one who sins who is blotted out of the book of life. No one can erase your name for you. No one can blot you out of the book of life. It is you and I who do the blotting if we are to be blotted. In Revelation chapter 3, Revelation chapter 3, and starting in verse 5, Jesus says this to the church in Sardis. He says, "He who overcomes shall be clothed in white garments, and I will not blot out his name from the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches." You catch the way that Jesus says that to this church? Whoever overcomes, he says, I will not blot out of the book of life. Maybe we don't appreciate this the way we should all the time. But the default for you and I is to not be included in the book of life. It is an exclusive thing to be written in heaven, to be registered in heaven. That's not the default. In fact, most people are not registered in heaven. Jesus says the reward, and he says the blessing when you overcome is that I'm not going to blot your name out. For you and I, the great danger that stands today is that we may not be written in heaven. And we each have to answer that question. Am I doing what I ought to be doing to be written in the book of life, to be registered in heaven? I'd like to close in Revelation chapter 20, and let's bring our thoughts to a close this morning. Revelation chapter 20. And in this passage, we have a description of Jesus' just overwhelming victory over Satan and over his armies. And when you read in Revelation chapter 19, you see that great battle come to a head where you have the two forces, the two armies that come together. And you think, well, this must take just several chapters to describe what an epic battle this is. But then when you read about it, it's over in an instant. It's like the battle doesn't even happen. And Jesus is given the great victory in that chapter. And in Revelation chapter 20 and verses 11 and following, it says, "Then I saw a great white throne and him who sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, standing before God, and books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged according to their works by the things which were written in the books. The sea gave up the dead who were in it, and death and Hades delivered up the dead who were in them, and they were judged, each one according to his works. Then death and Hades were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And anyone not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." What we read in that passage is that there's a coming day, a day when that book of life, that registry of heaven and all those names will be opened and they'll be read. Brethren, will you and I be called in that day? Will our names be read from the book of life? Jesus made just such a clear statement here in Mark chapter 16. I'm so thankful for the clarity and the simplicity with which Jesus made this statement. He says in Mark 16 and verse 16, "He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned." We like for things to be in black and white. We like for them to be simple, for them to be clear. And this morning we've read about a very clear thing in Scripture. You have heaven's registry. You have these names that are written, and either you're on the list or you're not. And here Jesus gives this clear statement where we want a yes or no answer. We want, especially when it comes to spiritual things, we want to know, do we have that blessed assurance? And Jesus tells us how to register in the book of life. Mark 16 and verse 16, belief and baptism. Believe in Jesus Christ, repent of your sins, be baptized for the remission of your sins. The rest of the lesson this morning is not necessarily about how to be registered, but what we've seen is how to stay registered, how to keep your name on that list. Maybe there's someone here this morning who has not yet signed up. You haven't yet registered for heaven. Why haven't you done that? You can fill out that form this morning. You can sign your name. You can get registered today and begin a life that leads to an eternity in heaven. Maybe there is someone who signed up some time back and you registered some time back, but you're not living a holy life. You're not serving God in fear, and your name is fading from the list. Perhaps only you know that. And today you can repent. You can make that right, so your name will be preserved in the book of life on that coming day. May we all leave here with the confidence and the certainty that we are written in that book. Let us know how we can help you spiritually. And won't you come forward while together we stand and while we sing?